discerned a condition and decided that there is one who has returned from the country afar off who can do something about it. We've heard what he's done over there. And whatever he's done over there, he'll certainly do it over here. The setting is a house. A house where the word is being taught. Because the word is there. These 4 days get a stretcher. Put the paralyzed man on the stretcher and takes him to Jesus. I just want to pause and I want to warn you guys. Whenever you see stuff like this, or whenever you get involved in a situation like this, make sure that there's a real need. Oh, look at that. They're looking at me funny. Even Harry. Even Harry looked at me like, Deke, I don't know where you're going here. Wait a minute. Make sure the man is paralyzed. The scripture says he was paralyzed. With what? No, palsy is paralysis. Oh, somebody better help me. Because I saw something here, even through the eyes of Matthew. There's enough right there to see that, first of all, there were some people who were concerned about this man and had enough faith and belief in the authority of Jesus that just like he healed over there, he can heal over here. But when you go and read Mark and Luke, they said these 4 brothers went up on a rooftop, cut the top off the roof, and let the man down. Because they perceived he had a condition and Jesus was the solution. In other words, these men came seeking a solution to the problem for their partners. But let me tell you, the world don't know all your problems. But I tell you who does, Jesus. So they said, hey, he's paralyzed. They didn't sit there. There's no discourse about whether or not they sit there and said, it's because he fell off that building or he was born like this. These seekers said, we know who can do it. They put him on a stretcher and they took. And you know what? I thank God for people who are willing to put you on a stretcher and get you into the presence of Jesus. Because a whole bunch of people just walk by you and leave you there. They don't care nothing about it. And in other words, they don't mind being your pallbearers, but they won't be your stretcher bearers. Y'all better hear me. I'm here. I say, I need somebody who's going to give me some help now. Help I need now. I need help right now. I need stretcher bearers, not pall bearers. I need somebody to get me into the very presence of Jesus so that Jesus can deal with whatever situation I have. You think I'm crazy? Take me to Jesus. You think I'm sick? Take me to Jesus. You think I'm broke? Take me to Jesus. Because if you get me into the presence of Jesus, Jesus will figure out just what I need. Y'all don't hear me? So we got these seekers, these stretcher bearers, if you would. They go up into the house, they take the roof off the house, and they let this man down into the presence of Jesus. And you know what? Most folk, if somebody tore the roof off this place and let somebody down into the middle of this, y'all be running and getting out of, what's all of this? It's messing up my red. My red is running because he's dripping all over me. But you know what? Many times the word of God is being preached and taught and the presence of Jesus is right there. But then we miss it with what I call potentatism. We're so busy giving out accolades to other folk you know, the bishop, the pastor, the staff, the deacons, head potentate this, and that we miss healing because Jesus is there, showed up, and everybody, they didn't say a word. Those four guys didn't say nothing. They didn't say help. They didn't say, Jesus, deal with this. They just put him down in the midst of Jesus. Because you know what? That's all you need to do. You need to get people in the presence of Jesus. And you know how you're going to do that? You know how you can train yourself to do that? Get an evangelism. Y'all knew that was coming. Y'all knew that was coming. Y'all knew that was coming. Because these guys, these brothers have a message. They have a message. Your greatest needs can only be met by Jesus himself. And I'm glad you think that this guy was physically unable to move. And because of that immobility, he now cannot do the things that normal humans do. And they say, we want to correct this condition. So they take him to Jesus. They lower him down in there. But listen to the latter part of that verse. Jesus seeing their faith. In other words, they got faith. He said nothing about the man. They got faith. Barbara, keep on reading. Because I'm trying to figure out how you see faith. I mean, this got to be Jesus. Because I'm trying to figure out. Because now I realize James said that what Jesus probably saw here is works. See, you, matter of fact, James said, show me your works, I'll show you faith. Faith without works is dead. They had done a good work. They had been stretcher bearers. They lowered him into they got him into the presence of Jesus. But then Jesus sees their faith. But then there is an and. There's an and there. You know how I know? Because Jesus speaks. He says he sees their faith, but he says something. Son, be of good cheer. You ain't got nothing to worry about. He speaks to the man, not to the people who bought. He didn't say, good job, guys. See, because that's what we would have done. We'd have interrupted to give accolades. Oh, you guys doing a marvelous work over there in the deacon's ministry. Y'all doing a great work No, man, I'm in the presence of the Lord. Let the Lord speak. And the Lord says, be of good cheer, son. Thy sins be forgiven. I am totally confused. Because I realize I got 8 verses to work with this week. There got to be more than this, than these 8 verses right here. But I realize I'm stuck on 2. Because they take the man for being paralyzed. Jesus sees his really need, his real need, and says, you're forgiven. Oh, that blessed me. You know why? Because a whole bunch of people are expecting miracles without knowing the Lord. And he said nothing about the man's faith yet. Said that Jesus saw their faith, but you know what else he saw? He saw the heart of that man. And really, that's what Jesus saw on all the parties involved. He saw their hearts. And in their hearts, he saw folk who were trying to solve a solution for a brethren that they believed that Jesus could solve. And in the heart of the man, paralytic, Jesus saw he was anguishing over sin. All this time, they thought he was immobilized physically. And that was his greatest challenge. Jesus looked at him in a second and said, Your problem is you're dealing with sin. Be of good cheer. You're going to get exactly what you want today, because what you really want is to be forgiven. That says something to me. It is better for you to be forgiven of sin and sick than to be in your sin and healthy as a bull. Yeah, y'all ain't fooling with me today. Y'all, see, because to understand Jesus' authority, you got to understand that there's a whole bunch of people, they ain't said nothing about this man's faith. You know, that he believed that he could be healed. Jesus saw their works, he saw their faith, and Jesus uses this part to say, look at here, the greater blessing, the greatest blessing that you can get is to be forgiven of sin. You know why? Because sin is the thing that will send you to hell. It is your worst catastrophe. It is the worst thing that you can have, is to die in your old sin nature. And Jesus immediately diagnoses the problem and says, look at here. I don't know what's immobilized you all these years, but I understand. They talking about you being a paralytic, but I see your heart. What you really need is to be forgiven of sin. And you don't have to be worried about that sin no more. This day you are forgiven. Who can be mad? Nobody but the devil. But the devil's been put in check. He was put in check last week. Don't you remember him falling off that cliff in them 2,000 swine? He's been put in check all at once. But I see something, because it says, and behold, certain of the scribes said what? Whenever God is at work and doing his greatest blessing, you can believe there will be skeptics. There are folk who ain't going to believe nothing. Did they just see what happened? Did they just see? The issue is they see Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. See, you've got to know him, and you got to know who he is. Because if you know who he is, you know what he can do. Told you that last week. If you know who he is, you know what he can do. Here's what they say. Is this man blessed? Now, did you notice the phrase said within themselves? It means they were skeptics, and Jesus read their mind. He read the faith of these men, he read the heart of the paralytic, and then he read the mind of these pompous, self-righteous Pharisees. They didn't even have to speak, folk, and Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking. And you know what? We ought to think about that. You know, all that stuff, all that bad, you might as well go on and say it if you're going to think it. Because God knows, and he's the only one that counts. Me and Phyllis don't count. But God knows. He knows exactly. And here Jesus, the God-man, standing there reading every word they're saying. Because this guy's blaspheming. But before you get judged too harshly, understand the law. The law was clear. Because the word of God said that it was an abomination for anybody to forgive a sin, to declare that he who was unjust, just. He who is guilty, you a man gonna declare that he's not guilty? Because that's what Jesus just did. Jesus told a man that his sin was forgiven. And their hair curled up, got tight, they got the thinking, they got the whispering among themselves, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your heart? Why is it that you would think of this evil? You think I'm blaspheming? Oh, let me just say, because Jesus is nice. Wait a minute. What potato truck you just fall off of? I thought y'all were smarter than that. You think I'm blaspheming? Because in your mind, behind what you're saying, you're trying to run. Somebody run over. Proverbs 17. Uh-oh, here we go with these numbers again. 17:9. Anybody?
He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends.
Drop down to 15, maybe.
He that justifieth the wicked.
That's what I want.
And he that condemneth the just.
Yes.
Even they both are abomination to the Lord.
He that try to forgive a sin, declare somebody right when they are not right, it's an abomination to the Lord. So, folk, let me tell you something. Don't want to bust your bubble. Don't want to offend anybody about your background, that you're running to the potentate, the pastor, the pope, the priest, to forgive sin. It was clear. No man could forgive sin because they're going to declare it. Only God can forgive sin. You read Proverbs. I tell you what, Nina, since you're there, go to 24:24. Proverbs 24:24. I guarantee you, I get some of these numbers right here. 24:24. Let's see what it says.
He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him.
Yes. Not only does God abhor it, people don't like the fact. So these Pharisees, they're right, because they don't know who Jesus is. They think this is a man declaring that sin is not sin. And they say, nah, uh-uh. Oh, they ready to fight now. Nah. There ain't nothing like church folk fight. But you know what? They did it quietly. Because you know what? But wait a minute, I saw this boy push them 2,000 pigs off that hill, you know. I heard about that. You know, I heard him calming that sea. You know, I'ma just think this. And Jesus said, why you even think something like that? I'ma tell you. Read verse 5.
For whether it's you or your bread,
thy then he demonstrates it, guys. Who he really is. He says, okay, you evidently don't know who I am. You think I'm just a mere man. You don't understand that I am the God man. You don't understand that. You know, there are others that understand that. You know, my disciples, they somewhat get it, but I gotta still keep teaching them. But you evidently don't know, because the God you talking about is the God you looking at. No. Here we go. I see some of y'all don't believe me. Right there it said, do you think it's easier to forgive sin or tell this man to get up and walk? That caused a dilemma in their minds, because they know one thing. With God, anything is possible. But for a man, it might be easier for him to say, you're healed. And you know why? They couldn't refute the stats. They had already collected data. They already knew he could heal. So if you press me to answer, I got to go with it. Hey, get up and walk. That's easier. And as soon as I get up and say that, what do you think Jesus would say? Come on, we got a few minutes. What do you think Jesus would say? It's easier to say, stand up and walk. What would Jesus say? Come on, I see blank stares. I see like, please, Deacon Steve, please don't call on me. I'm going to call on you. Yeah. What do you think Jesus would say if you said it's easier to say, stand up and walk? Who's that? Is that Gwen? Gwen. Thank you, Colonel. Yeah. In other words, if it's so easy, you do it. You tell them, why y'all calling me? Why y'all don't need me. If that's so easy, if any man can do this, tell you do it. They didn't want that. The silence was just like the silence in here before. He says, which one do you think? Verse 6 says what? All this time, the paralytic was healed. You know what I know? He got healed when Jesus said, you're forgiven of sin. Let me tell you something, folks. Sin cripples you. Sin ties you up in a knot. You know, and you've heard Pastor Brown say many times, it'll take you places you don't want to go and keep you there longer than you want. This sin does not play. It binds you up. It binds you up. But you know, one of the things in one of my other studies, when we were talking about personal forgiveness, we looked at the fact that forgiving is like exhaling. That's what forgiveness is. In other words, this man was all bound up, couldn't go nowhere by sin. He had abandoned the idea of walking because he's used to people carrying him. He's making it. But the thing he can't seem to escape is that he knows he does not have a right relationship with God. Jesus, in a matter of seconds, says, I know exactly what you need. Go away. I know what I'm talking about, because that word in the Greek for exhale is the same one. That word in the Greek for forgive is the same word, exhale. Let it go. Remove it. Get it out. Jesus the Christ looks at this man, makes a diagnosis, and says, you are forgiven. At that time, here's what those men that stood around there thought. This guy is not Lord. He's a liar. This guy is not Lord. He's a lunatic. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Y'all remember Sister Kendall? That was her favorite thing. If Jesus Christ didn't do exactly what he said he can do, when he said he can do it, he's either a liar or a lunatic. Her favorite expression. You know why? Because she knows who he is. She knows him as Lord. But anytime you're in the presence of the Lord, remember, you're always going to get more than one response. Some people are going to say, oh yeah, that's Lord. You're right, Lord. I saw sin forgiven. But see, sin forgiven isn't something that they can see. You can't see sin forgiven. And that's why people keep on discovering ways or making up ways for you to repent of sin and come back. That's why people have not adopted eternal salvation. Y'all come with me. Let me go to basic doctrine right quick. That's why a lot of folk think that once saved, not always saved. That's why they don't believe that. And the reason is they don't know really who God is. They don't trust God for who he is. They don't trust his word that says that you are sealed at the time of conversion. And if you're sealed, can't nothing get in, can't nothing get out. You don't have a choice. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe you don't believe, for by grace are you saved through faith and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. In other words, not by works of righteousness, which you have done, but according to his mercy, he saved you. How? By the washing and renewing of the Holy Spirit. See, if you know him for that, you don't have to wait for any evidence. You don't have to walk around and talk about, I need you back over there. Who's that, Nina? I need you right back over there. And Proverbs again, because I want y'all to hear these scriptures. It ain't up to you who's saved and not saved. It ain't up to you whether or not your sins have been good. We have held this hammer over people because of their past for too long in the church. All of you are an ex something. And as I told my deacons yesterday, some of you are current something. But God has forgiven me for all of that. God sent his only son while we were yet sinners, while we were yet mired in our sin. God sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. God did that. And I shouldn't have to make up any fancy rules. And I shouldn't try to replace God, as some religions have. That you can go to your deacon and your deacon absolve your sin. You go to your deacon steeped in the same sin you steeped in. The only difference, he's a saved sinner. Only God can forgive the sin nature. You got to get that. And then you got to understand their mentality. If only God can do it, how you don't say that you're doing it? Well, this must be the God man. You got to believe John 1:1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and there was nothing made that was not made by him. And lo and behold, that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That means he walked just like all men walk. But he did what no man could ever do, and that is forgive you of your sin nature. And you know why I could do it? He got the authority. Even over forgiveness of sin. Jesus got that authority to forgive your sin nature. And he recognized that some folk, they need nature healing more than physical healing. Some of your issues wouldn't be the issues that you have. If you get saved, if you just get forgiven of all that sin, but we're running to the world and we're asking the world to do something that only God can do. The Pharisees were right on that. They didn't want to fool with that. They said, man, wait a minute, you know, come here, you do some pretty things, but don't come here trying to replace God, because only God can forgive sin. You're right. But you got to know who you're looking at. Because Jesus says, I and the Father are one. When you're looking at me, you're looking at him. Jesus can do it. The Pope can't do it. The priest can't do it. But Jesus says, I can do it. I want you to get up now, and your sins are forgiven. I want you to take your pallet, and I want you to get up off this stretcher, get the stretcher out of these people's house. Somebody got to fix that hole in the roof. Y'all got to bring some order back into this thing. And look here, now that you're walking and able to move, you help them brothers retile that roof up there. He says, listen to this. On the word of Jesus. Wait a minute. Y'all didn't hear that. On the word of Jesus. Jesus didn't say, hey, Brother Lay, bring me that bottle of oil. And Brother Lay, bring me some dirt. Bring me a red bag, you know, and give me one of my red bags out of there. Jesus just said, get up and walk. And the brother got up, dusted himself off, and he walked. See, that was substantiation. Because Jesus, notice here in this verse, he combined both. He said, your sins have been forgiven and you have been healed. Your sins have been forgiven and you've been healed. And he says, whatever may happen, you've got to trust God from now on. That's the message that he was saying. At the heart of the gospel message is this: God forgives. Amen. Jesus died. Men get saved. At the heart of the message. Y'all can print it up any way you want to. You can try to change this message. Go right ahead. I'll let you and God deal with that. But God says, for the rest of you, if you believe it, take people to the presence of God. Get them into the presence of God. Because if they get into the presence of God, they'll receive what they really need. That man could have left there that day. I honestly believe this. Sir Smith, I believe this with all my heart. That man could have got up, said, okay, I'm forgiven. His countenance had changed. And he'd have called the four stretcher bearers on over. And they'd have took him on out of there. And he still would have been blessed. We run into the presence of the Lord Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. People are getting blessed. But because your particular issue wasn't addressed in the worship hour, and you still leaving with that, there is no cause for you not to celebrate. Remember, they. Harry, do you remember they? Pastor Brown put out a call a few years ago. Would somebody please just come and tell me who they is? But do you remember they? Now, all Jesus did was see their faith. He ain't complimented it. He ain't said nothing. What did they get out of it? They bought him there. They had good works. Jesus saw their faith. He didn't even compliment on them. But the guy who said nothing, we don't even know if he was a believer. He got healed physically, and he got healed spiritually. What did they get? I just think I know. Read verse 7 and 8 together, because I want to show you what they did.
And he arose and departed to his house, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men.
Oh, y'all got to pay me again. We done got it. What did they get? Oh, let me tell you one thing. They got a celebration. Every Sunday that you come here, people are being blessed. There's somebody who needed to hear this today, and you say, well, that wasn't for me. But guess what? Somebody got blessed. And if they stood up here and started rejoicing, you would rejoice right with them. You would be blessed. You would say, oh, God's done it again. Don't worry about the skeptics. Don't worry about, because God will substantiate you in anything you do if you are right. But if you're in another lane, if you're in somebody else's lane, God's going to let you work it. And especially if you're in his lane. Only God can forgive your sin nature. So why do you keep running to Oprah? Why do you keep running? Why do you keep turning to Trump? Why do you keep turning to Roscoe and Pelosi and McAllen? Why do you do it? Only God can cure your ailment. If you don't know God, only God can deal with that. Because I guarantee you, all the names that I just called, if they started liking you today, it wouldn't mean a hill of beans in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, it might be better off for some of the names that I just called for them not to like you. Only God can forgive sins, because only God has the authority.